Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so now we've had Yudhishthira going and discussing. He's already met, getting blessings from his gurus. So he's gone to Bhishma, he's gone to Drona, he's gone to Kripa. Kripa has then said that, no one can kill me. So knowing this, go and obtain victory. So it just means I've given you a blessing for victory. Go and attain the victory. Don't worry about killing me because it's not going to happen. Kripa's father, Gotama Rishi, had told him that he would be invincible in battle. Therefore, he advised Yudhishthira not to waste time trying to bring about his fall. So in other words, since he can't be killed like that, don't waste your time in battle going after him. Go after more important personalities and strategic battle plans that will win the victory. Because the point is it's not that he's the one that's going to be the crucial point to whether there's victory or not. The point is if you've won the battle, whether he's defeated or not, you've still won the battle. So you don't have to defeat him. But like Bhishma and Drona, they're going to be more prominent. And so, and Duryodhana is going to use it in a more aggressive way. And so then you're going to have to take care of other things first. Lifting his right hand in blessings, Kripa continued, I will rise from sleep every day and pray for your victory. I say that this truly, go now and obtain your desires. Right, so having the blessings of these three, because Duryodhana doesn't have the blessings. He has their obligation, their duty, but he doesn't actually have their blessings because from the very beginning, the inimical attitude that Duryodhana has had towards the Pandavas has never been approved of by these three and Vidura. So, they're not going to give it now. And so he wants to fight, then he fights. They'll do their best, as Yudhishthira had asked, that they do their best in their performance of the duties, but it doesn't mean that they're giving their blessings. They're not cursing, because they are obligated, but they're not giving their blessings. Yudhishthira went at last to Shalya. After asking his permission to fight with him, he stood with folded palms, looking up at his maternal uncle. Shalya sorrowfully replied, right, because he's the father of Madri, like that. So he's his uncle. And so then, because he came to fight for the Pandavas, but by Duryodhana's trick, he ended up on Duryodhana's side, because it said that Shalya, as far as anybody in the material world goes, no one's a better chariot driver than Shalya. So he's thinking, Arjuna has Krishna, who's the Supreme Lord. You're not going to get better than that. So he needs a very good fighter for, a chariot driver for, Karna. Yeah, so in that way he thinks it'll be equal and then they'll win. But he, Duryodhana, being an illusion, being in ignorance, they can't actually understand Krishna's position. But whatever, they try to use their logic. So that was the trick. So then he's also going to Shalya. Because he's the uncle, he's family, and so like this. Shalya sorrowfully replied, the Kuru's wealth has made me their slave. What can I do for you under these circumstances? I wish to bestow a boon upon you for your having come to me in humility. What do you desire? Like, he's not saying he would curse because he's, family and this and that. Others are the gurus and the elders like that, in that way. So, they're gaining everything from them and learning everything from them. And so because they've done so much, you would naturally offer that respect. Because that's basically what the teacher, the leaders and the parents and, all these are getting is that respect. They're not getting, like the king is not getting something or the others. They're just getting that respect. And by that respect, then so much can be accomplished. Right? Because the student respects, therefore he learns, therefore he can reply, therefore he's successful. Like that. So the on the one side, if that respect is there, then the teacher is satisfied. Yudhishthira reminded him of his promise to discourage Karna when it came time for him to fight with Arjuna. "It shall be so," Shalya answered. "Go and fight. I shall pray for your victory." Right, so he had already discussed with him before, because Shalya, even though he agreed to fight for Duryodhana, still, because he was coming to fight for Yudhishthira, his armies went to that side, but he himself personally came and sat and told him about how that whole trick had happened. He was coming to fight and all that, and so what can he do? Because, you know, he wants to do some. He came to do so, give some benefit for Yudhishthira. So how could he give benefits? So Yudhishthira said, you know, when it comes time, because Yudhishthira's smart, so he knows they'll pick you as the charioteer for Karna. So please don't, you know, just make it not work out so good for him. And so, you know, because Karna, Shalya can't respect Karna, not because he doesn't have prowess and all that, just his character's bad. Because it's supposed to be, it's character that's appreciated in the Vedic culture. So Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, if they have character, then they're glorified. And if they don't have character, then there's always a problem. So you can say, oh, it's always this one or that one. No, it's even the Shudra who has character is glorified. Like that. So it's just a matter of character. That's the basic principle in the Vedic culture. Is how is someone a gentleman? How is someone successful? How is someone actually having knowledge? It's based on character. When there's humility, that means all the other character can come. If there's not humility, the other character will either become constricted or distorted, or, you know, things like that. Very meager, so they don't manifest like this. So, yeah. So he's just reminding him. We had discussed this before. That's all I ask. I don't ask more, because it might be there's something else. No, it's this thing. "It shall be so," Shalya answered. "Go and fight. I shall pray for your victory." Right. So he's praying for his victory. You know, the other one's like that. It was already discussed before. Yudhishthira bowed to Shalya and then returned to his army. Witnessing the respect and honor he paid to his elders, cries of "excellent, bravo" were heard among the soldiers on both sides. As they thought on the noble qualities of Yudhishthira and his brothers, the soldiers wept aloud. Right, so with Kshatriyas, they're trained, so they know what's the standard. So, and especially then, you know, their duty is to establish religious principles, and Yudhishthira is the personification of these religious principles. So they're always going to appreciate that, because that's the thing, it doesn't matter what side it is. They're fighting for that as their duties, they're fighting for, you know, what they deem as a correct cause. And so in doing that and fighting, following the rules and all that, then they'll either win and enjoy victory here, or they'll die and go to heaven. And so it's all about these good qualities. That it's not about what tricks you can use and this and that, you know, and do things behind the backs. That's for politicians, you know, or assassins and other things like this, who basically you're dealing on the lowest platforms. You know, on their own benefit, or, you know, maybe there might be some little tinge of social, but mostly it's not based on religion. So they're always going. So you can see as we go through when they're fighting, and someone fights in an incredible way, all the soldiers, both sides, will praise. That's what's good fighting. So that's the thing. It's not that they won't praise someone else because they're an enemy. This is a modern kind of nonsense. But it would be, they would respect, like before it would be, you know, when you had sports, it was gentlemanly, you know, may the best man win, and that kind of thing. And then then whoever won, they would go, they would shake hands and say, you know, it was a good match, a good fight, a good this, you know, like this and all that. Well, still, most do that, but you do see it doesn't quite have the same, you know, mood and all that enthusiasm, and some won't. If they lose, they're not going to talk to the other guy, not even look at him. But it's kind of like, it's a game, you know. Maybe you're getting paid for it, but it's a game, you know. So for Kshatriyas, then this is their sport. And so then it's about doing things right and good, and who does, and that's respected. So that should always be there. After he was again stationed on his chariot, clad in armor and ready for battle, Yudhishthira called out to the Kauravas, "If any among you that wishes to choose us, we will consider you our ally. Come then to our side." Right, so he's making the point, because they're Kshatriyas, they'll fight according to their code. If this side, they see that Pandavas are actually in the right, You know, because otherwise the others are fighting because they see Duryodhan is in the right. And then here if they see, well, actually, no, the Pandavas are in the right, and they come that side, you can trust that they will fight properly. They're not coming as a spy or this or that or going to make trouble for you or anything. So Yudhishthira, by his own character and all that, showing that character, then others are going to do. And because he's done this and they're in that mood of appreciating character, now when he says this, then they'll know. And they'll be treated equally like that. If they're a great personality comes, they'll maybe be given a very big position. It's not that, oh, you're on the enemy, you didn't chose us, so you know you get to water the horses or something. You know, they'll be, according to their position, properly situated. There was silence and no one moved. Then, from out of the Kaurava ranks, emerged Yuyutsu's chariot. I will fight for you, he shouted. O sinless one, will you accept me? Come, come, replied Yudhishthira. Fight with us against your foolish brothers, O Yuyutsu. We accept you into our ranks. It seems the thread of Dhritarashtra's line, as well as the last funeral offerings, will rest upon you. O Prince, accept us who accept you. The wrathful and foolish Duryodhana will not survive, because now in this Bhima has made the vow he'll kill all the brothers. And in this, then, from what I remember, is Yuyutsu, then he is the son of a maidservant. And so then, technically, he gets all the facilities and prestige of that of his brothers, of Kshatriyas, just he's not one who would rule. So when we say Duryodhana has 100 brothers, it doesn't technically count Yuyutsu. Even though up to now, he's with his brothers, he does everything with his brothers. But so Bhima's curse doesn't actually apply to him. So then Yudhishthira's making the point that, you know, because we have the blessings of our gurus, means Duryodhana doesn't have the blessings of his gurus for the war. They are obligated, but they don't have the blessings. Yudhishthira has the blessings, he has Krishna on his side, you know, so... Therefore, then, they're going to be victorious. And then Yuyutsu, he'll be able to perform the death rites. Because otherwise, Dhritarashtra is blind, he won't know, be able to see what to do. And he'll be able to do. And then there'll be someone there to take care of the mother, right? I mean, of Gandhari. So at least the way he's seeing this is a very nice thing. That, you know, then there'll at least be someone there to help take care of. As drums and cymbals were sounded, Yuyutsu went over to the Pandava side. Duryodhana glared in silent fury at his half-brother. Yuyutsu had never shared his feelings towards the Pandavas. That had been obvious enough from their frequent disagreements. But how did he dare abandon his family in their hour of need? He would regret this foolish decision. He said his family, what Duryodhana forgets is Pandavas are also family, they're cousins, you know. He's his half-brother, these are cousins, basically it's the same thing. Brothers, half-brothers, and cousins are all considered brothers, and so that's the fun part of Duryodhana. He quotes all this, you know, nice religious things, but he doesn't actually apply it properly, you know. Seeing that the moment of battle had arrived, the warriors on both sides began to shout in exultation. Now they would either die and thus be elevated to the heavenly realm, or would emerge victorious. To the sound of thousands of conscious trumpets and drums, the warriors rushed at each other with uplifted weapons. The earth shook and clouds of dust rose into the air as they advanced. They sounded and appeared like two great oceans coming together. Bhima's cries rose above the tumult as he raced ahead of the Pandavas' force, roaring like a bull. Right, so you have both armies roaring. Right? And then above that, you can hear Bhima. Right? Like that. And you have the whole army, they'll move as a group because they have a formation. And so both sides will be moving together because it's, you know, like you have the spear and then the other one will have this and that. You know, you have all these different things on how you move. But Bhima on his own is just going out with his glove. He doesn't care. Whatever's in front of him, it will go into the history books, right? Hearing his shouts who drowned out other sounds, the Kaurava soldiers became afraid. Right, because everybody's shouting, so there's a big loud roar, but you're shouting and it's all that kind of, you know, it'll be kind of in the background. But then above that, you hear Bhima that's got to be, he's got more force than the whole combined, you know, 18 Akshauhinis of soldiers roaring. You know, that's got to say something. So that's the whole point. Horses and elephants passed urine and excrement, faltering as they ran. Dhritarashtra's sons were struck with terror as Bhima came towards them, his mace whirling above his head, because he's made the vow he's going to kill every last one of them. And at that battle at Virat, Arjuna could have killed Duryodhana easily because he was taking, and there was a battle, he could have killed, but and killed Karna and all this. He could have done it. He was in the position too, but he didn't because vows were made. Bhima will kill Duryodhana's brother, so he didn't kill any. Karna is going to be killed, you know, by Arjuna. So he didn't, you know, at that time. It's that the battle, he's going to be killed. So that was not that battle, but, you know, so. Bhima laughed at his frightened foes. At last the time had come, right? So you have 14 years of pent-up anger. I mean, you have more if you go back, House of Lack and how they harassed all the time like that. So he has a lifetime of anger. And, you know, and Kshatriyas are famous for not really forgetting their anger. It means you see with him, based on the principles of religion, if Yudhishthir had decided we're taking 5 villages, he would have taken it. So he has the character of that to do it. But if they're working on the principle of his occupational duties as a Kshatriya, and he's fighting with his lifelong enemy, then, you know, we have issues here, you know, so. Now he could finally release the full fury of his anger. Taking heart, right, because they get, you know, this happens, and then they take heart, and then they go. So, you know, there's all these emotions, so many things happening. Taking heart, the Kauravas shouted out their own battle cries and waved their bows in the air. They surrounded Bhima and began firing snake-like arrows at him, right? Because snake-like arrows are very virulent, like that. I think they're wavy like this. You know, they're thin, and they go through. They're a nasty, nasty weapon. Laughing as the arrows glanced off his armor, he struck other shafts down with his mace. Bhima shook off their attack. He replied with thousands of his own arrows, dispersing the Kaurava princes in all directions. Abhimanyu and Draupadi's sons, along with Nakula, Sahadeva, and Drishtadyumna, advanced in a body and tore into the Kaurava forces, scattering arrows everywhere. Neither side flinched nor turned back from the violence as they hurled their weapons at one another. The twang of bowstrings and the slap of strings hitting leather arm protectors and gloves was heard everywhere. The air was full of swift-flying arrows. Spears, darts, and iron balls fell upon both armies in the thousands. Yeah, because the iron balls means this, you know, these are being projectiles, you know, so how they're being projected, but the thing is they had all the varieties of weaponry that are there. It's just that in the modern, it's more on fire weapons that are fired mechanically. Well, before, if they wanted to use a fire weapon, they would use mantra. So then the bow and arrow was the favorite, because then you could shoot anything. You wanted to fight fire weapon, water weapon, wind weapon, earth weapon. You know, any of these things you could use. So it was the preferred weapon. They didn't prefer technology. So they had technology, but it wasn't important for them. And these balls being fired, those are generally for the men, you know, the foot soldiers. Because foot soldiers, they would use that kind of weaponry themselves and against themselves. So that the Kshatriyas, then they were all using their bows and arrows or javelins, like this, or if that came down, they'd use their swords and that. But then the foot soldiers, they may be using those, but they also have their swords, battle axes, you know, and whatever. So they're generally fighting because they're on foot, so they fight, you know, that man-to-man there, and the others then are fighting, but, you know, then the chariots will be at a distance, horses will be closer. You know, horses can fight with horses and also with the men there, because if everything goes, see, is that you have a you can think, well, what's the point of having them? But the point is if your chariot is surrounded by all these and people are fighting with you, they can't get any more, people can't get close. But if you've wiped out their army, so there's just the Kshatriya there, now you can get close and capture or defeat. So, you know, it's all part of the, so the battlefield, the elements is Chaturanga. It has the 4 aspects. So you have the charioteers, you have the elephants, you have the horses, and you have the foot soldiers. So that 4 together, that makes up an army. That's a complete army. Yes, so then we'll see. We'll continue with how it's going. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.